Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is off topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we got it. Might be hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, in our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too. And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss the cream the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? And you love this podcast too.
All right, and welcome back to the latest edition of the Mountain West Connection. I'm Jeremy.
Podcast.
Well, I don't want to say, I'm like, just, it's too wordy to say the Mountain West Connection. What's wrong with that?
Fine. No, okay. Yeah, well, it makes sense because it is a connection.
There you go, see? We don't need a silly, funny name or, well, I've been thinking about names. We can't take This Week in Mountain West because that's already taken by their professional sounding newscast with audio clips and coach interviews.
Yeah, good job, Mountain West website, for doing your own podcast.
Hold on really quick. I'm Jeremy. Chris is back.
What's up?
It's MWCConnection.com. I just want to get the stuff out of the way at the beginning so people know what they're listening to. People could just stumble and fall into the podcast and not know what they're finding or where to find us. They may accidentally click download somewhere. So
I'm all for that. As long as they remember where they click download, yeah, they
that's
can why
come I'm right back. That's why I'm reminding them. MWCConnection.com. Same handle on Twitter. But that's us. But back to the Mountain West show over there. It's an improvement. This is actually their radio broadcast because I worked at the radio station where I had to plug in the CD and let it go. It's better than what they attempted with the podcast last season. Sound like they're talking through a tin can and on maybe a rotary phone, perhaps.
So basically two very poor laptops.
I think, yeah, it's like talking to the phone. Here's how bad it was. The phone connection from their guest was better than the host connection.
I tell you what, with professional microphones, we sound mighty bonafide.
Correct. We do sound much better and sultry. I don't know. Is that good? Hello, Yes. Everybody. No? All right, let's get going here. Chris is back after taking a week off for whatever reason, doing what you do. I forget. You were gone somewhere.
I was...
I don't remember.
I was taking horrible things. If anybody's curious,
I completely forgot. I'm not just messing around. I'm like, I forget why you were.
If anybody's curious, I will be graduating with my master's at the end of December. So that's what this exam was for.
That's right. Correct. Okay. Your school stuff. Let's move on from that then.
Okay. Right. No more of that.
Yes. So this is a little bit later for a normal recap, but deal with it. Stuff goes on. We're going to go back, rewind the clock. So, or do the Wayne drill thing. And imagine the hand motions, yes. All right, first game, Boise State Air Force. I assume you being the Boise State aficionado.
The first half scared me because it looked very similar to the last time Boise State played Air Force. But you know what? The second half adjustments, and that's what happened. I mean, you know, 22-point win. I've never seen such a nail-biting 22-point win.
Correct, yeah. First half, every possession, every team scored the ball. Like, neither team could stop. Boise couldn't tackle the option. Whoever was running the ball didn't matter if it was Bromhart, Aweini, anybody, whoever is running the ball, they had no issues. When Air Force tried to throw, that's when stuff got a little shaky, but they couldn't stop the option. They're limiting them to big plays, which is a good thing in the first half, but they are moving the ball enough to get a first down, the touchdown.
Nobody punted that first half.
Correct. First punt, I think, came sometime. I think it was Air Force. No, I think, who punted first? Was it Boise or Air Force?
No, Boise fumbled first, and then Air Force punted off the fumble.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, because that's when, that was in the second half when it started raining. Like, why is Jay Ajayi taking off the gloves? Because they mentioned the gloves on his belt or whatever, on the belt there. Because he lost the ball in the play a couple plays before, fell right in his hands. He's like, I'm getting rid of the gloves. He fumbles, drops the ball, then they punt. So I remember that. That could have changed the game as well for Air Force able to, if they could have moved down the score. That either Boise would have put the game away or Air Force would have been right back in it. But the first half, it was just point for point. There was the one field goal by Air Force, and it was still 33-yarder. You go down to, your 15-yard line. You're still pretty close. They just got stuffed. But adjustments were made. Boise State learned how to tackle in the second half. They actually got the defender in the backfield. They were able to get pressure, which was none to be found in the first half.
Yeah, yeah. And I would go ahead. I mean, I'll go ahead and give the defense credit where credit is due, making those second half adjustments. But the one person, I mean, yeah, Jai did great, 17 carries for 125 yards, 4 touchdowns, made up for that fumble that he had. But I will say, Joe Stashwick, I think, deserves the game ball tonight.
Well,
I mean,
correct.
You do not set an NCAA single game record for the completion percentage. Going 27 of 29 for 287 yards. That's averaging almost 10 yards.
Yeah, 9.9.
Yeah. I mean, one touchdown, the one interception, but, you know.
Well, Andy rushed for 53 and another score.
Yeah.
So he's all over the field.
He's doing what I said he had to do. He had to be at the beginning of the season. He has to be efficient. He has to be a great quarterback. And he's still not to the great point, but he is getting there.
And also helps when their defense shuts Air Force to under 188 yards, when they usually average about 300 per game.
Yeah, 188 yards rushing. Let's mention that.
Yeah, because usually Air Force, if you hold them under, it's typically like if you can hold them under anywhere about 225, you'll have a good chance to win. And that's a really good day, about 200. But anything under 200 is quite impressive. And I saw motion on offense. I visually did see them put players in motion.
Yeah.
Because I missed the ESPN3 broadcast. And they got players open. There was that one player. I think it was. Was it the interception where two players did the post route and almost ran into each other? Was that the
yes.
interception, I believe? Like, the guy's like, I think there was a mistake on that route. Well, two players, two offensive players, three defenders, middle of the field. That's never a good combination.
But see, Utah State also held. Lost the previous weekend, this is a reference. Utah State held Air Force to 162 rushing yards. So both teams, those adjustments, and they didn't give up the big play. This is the biggest difference between Boise State the first time they played Air Force versus the last time they played Air Force, which was this last Friday. Boise State gave up only one play that was 20 yards this game.
Pretty good.
The first time they played Air Force, they gave up 3 or 4 20-plus yard plays.
So if we're going to compare these teams, because they're going to have a showdown pretty soon, who do you think had the better game against Air Force?
Score-wise, Utah State.
Well, yeah, but...
And I think Utah State really still does look like the better team. But that being said, Boise State does not look like the team that played against Washington 3 weeks ago.
No, but Air Force also isn't that... In the second half, I'll say. I wouldn't say the whole game, but the second half.
Yeah.
Because we know Air Force defense has never been great. I think Utah, besides the score being better, or it's a dumb descriptive word, but being in favor of Utah State, is that Boise did give up over 100 yards to Jahlil Aweini, whereas Utah State stopped the running game cold. The leading rusher was Aweini with 48 yards. And so Utah State, the average per play was about the same, but Boise did let Aweini get more yards on the ground, a lot more yards. So that's where I think Utah State defense probably a little bit better because they contained it a bit more. Air Force spread the ball out more, so that's kind of where I think, yeah, heck, you score. You outscore the other team. You throw for more yards. You have more touchdowns. Your running game's pretty comparable. A little bit better for, well, no, pretty much the same. So I just, that showdown would be great. So right now, who would you pick in, out of the division? Because I assume it's you're going Boise, Utah State.
Oh, we're not. Are we not waiting for the end of the show for that?
Let's just do it right now because we're talking about both teams. We can just say who's better out of these two.
Out of these two? Utah State. Still.
Okay. That's all I had to get at. All right, so let's move on to the next game. Did you view any New Mexico Pittsburgh on ESPN3?
I did not. I was, for your information.
That's right. You were at a different
game. I was at the USC Boston College game.
Game prep, right? Prepping for Utah State?
Yeah, prepping for Utah State, which we will get into previews this week later. I will be at that game, too.
Yeah, awesome. Excellent. But this game, I think Pittsburgh, well, first off, Cole Gauchy has to be the starting quarterback. No questions.
Really? Really?
Yes, really. Because I watched a good part of this game, kind of monitor to watch going on. When Clayton Mitchum was in the game, he cannot run the option. He doesn't have the same authority of, I don't know if he doesn't know the offense or his abilities, but the offense doesn't run the same. It's just not as effective. When Gauchy came in, in the second half, he rushed for 50 yards. No, like no sweat. And two touchdowns. He led the team down the field, and they could have been closer, but he led them down the field, two touchdowns. Mitchum did have to throw 15 times, but when he's moving the offense, he can't do it. But the thing is, UTSA basically showed everybody how to beat New Mexico. Can't stuff the middle, and then you can bring your speedy guys to the outside. UTSA had a pair of 300-pound guys. Pittsburgh, I don't know their dimensions or height or weight or whatever it is, but they stopped the middle, and in the option, you have to have a threat to go up the middle. And with Casey Carrier, he's what, 5'8", not even 200 pounds?
He's a small dude.
Listed as 5'9", 185. And he cannot run up the middle. And I don't know, and he only had one carry in the second half. So, and I read everywhere he didn't get injured, I'm assuming just ineffectiveness. And they brought in probably one of the best names, your favorite running back, Caruso Gongbe. He came in. They need to get him more carries because he's at least over 200 pounds. He's not much bigger. He's at least 6 feet, listed 210, and he ran for 95 yards on just 10 carries.
Yeah, and I mean, as a run option offense, you have to be able to utilize multiple running backs for different personalities. Casey Carrier, and this is just from me looking at the stat box, 7 carries, 22 yards. What the hell happened from last week's near 300-yard performance? And you're absolutely right. Pittsburgh was doing what UTSA was doing, just stuffing them up the middle.
And with better athletes on the edge. Because they know they're not going to throw the ball, so they would sneak guys up a little bit. They would only play man coverage on the outside and bring as many players, whether they're putting 7 or 8 guys up front. They were just stopping and clogging the middle. Because if you can't go up the middle, you can't do anything. Because you have to do it. With this offense, you have to go up the middle. You have to do the halfback or fullback dive. That's why they need an H-back, a tight end or a fullback to take that beating. You can't have Casey Carrier get the ball because if he's going to get the ball at the middle, he's going to get the ball. They're not going to fake to him to get his head bashed in 10 times a game without running the ball.
Yeah, no, absolutely right.
And the thing is, first half, they had plus 3 to turnover margin. I believe it was plus 6 or 7 or 8 minutes time possession, we're still down 28-6 before the half. And they also had even special teams assistance, good returns, and they still couldn't do anything. Like, they had all their chances to make this a game. Good field position, time of possession, turning plus in the turnover margin, but couldn't convert on anything. Because even if they got a pair of touchdowns instead of field goals, 35-14, 28-14 at the half, they're still right in this game.
Yeah, and even that being said, I mean, Pittsburgh still didn't cover the spread. It came close, but they still didn't cover. And New Mexico had a second-half charge. They were able to score, and this comes back to Cole Gauchy running the offense. Yeah, maybe he can't pass worth anything, but, at least he's there.
Yeah, he was able to move it, and I just thought New Mexico would play better because Pitt's nothing. They do have a pair of wide receivers who are pretty good. But I was kind of hoping they would win. Didn't think they would, but I figured they'd be able to make it a game. I'm like, it's 21-0 already? It's like, come on, they had, yeah, like I said, special teams. They recovered a, okay, they recovered a fumble. Where was this fumble at here? Well, that was 20, like they have the, okay, they recover a fumble. They drive all the way down the field in the second quarter, a nice long play. They settle for a 22-yard field goal. That's like an extra point.
That's ridiculous.
Like, come on. You can't.
You got to go for it at that point. I mean,
oh, no, here's what it was. Here's what it was. Sorry. I mean, okay. Fourth and goal at the one. Delay of game. So they're at the 1 yard line. I assume they're going to go for it. Delay of game. How do you get a delay of game when it's fourth down? It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, you know.
Yeah, no, you know, no, I see what you're
and
saying.
And they called a timeout on the play before third down. So they probably said, here's what we're doing on third down. Depending what we do, we'll go for it on fourth and the field goal. So there is a timeout 2 plays prior, and they still get a delay game. I don't recall what happened. I didn't see that, but they're down 21-3. That could have made it 21-10, and who knows. But that stuff like that still disabled Mexico, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess the second half charge, we know Gauchi's the guy. They just need to teach him how to throw, I guess. I don't know what to do. What do you defense show up maybe? Because they got outrushed by 75 yards, over almost 75 yards.
You have, yeah. I mean, there's
a lot.
There's a lot that needs to be worked on with this New Mexico offense. But I mean, that being said, it's not going to be impossible.
And what we're going impossible for what?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Impossible. What do you mean? Like impossible to get better, to be a bowl team?
Yeah, it's not impossible to get better. It's not impossible to get better. And this is going to be a season-wide projection. And, I mean, you know, I think we're at the point now that New Mexico definitely won't get to a bowl game. But if once again, we said this last year, if Gauchi learns how to pass, you know, the offense is going to be even more potent than it already could potentially be. Helps Carrier open up a little bit more.
I'll stop you right there. I think a bowl game could be in their future.
What?
Hear me out.
All right.
Just saying. Based on what we know, they got UNLV next week, which that at home, New Mexico State.
Okay.
Can you easily see them winning those two games?
Oh, yeah.
So that's 3-2. I don't think they'll beat Wyoming, but that could be a tricky game. Just saying.
All right.
San Diego State's just awful. Air Force is nothing great, and they get Air Force and CSU at home. I still think there's a very small chance they could do this.
All right, we'll see.
Because let me just refresh the game, mention the games. UNLV at home, New Mexico State at home, Air Force at home, CSU at home. I think they could possibly win 4 of those games.
And they play San Diego State, right?
Yeah, but that's on the road. And then Wyoming, you never know with Wyoming. I expect them to beat Wyoming, but based on history, I wouldn't say Wyoming's... I'm not going to give Wyoming a guarantee win over anybody, regardless of how well I think Brett Smith is and Brandon Miller and Sean Wick or whoever. I'm just saying there's a chance they could get... They'll be close to a bowl game because they're not going to beat Fresno on the road or Boise on the road, and they're not going to beat Utah State at home. But I'm just saying there's at least 4 winnable games on all the rest of their home games outside of Utah State they could win. It's probably me being too confident, but I'm just saying those teams are not very good.
All right.
So, yeah.
I'll give that to you.
We're switching spots. I'm taking New Mexico here.
All right. Okay, that being said, let's go ahead.
Move on.
Colorado State wins a game.
Yes, they played Cal Poly. We don't need to discuss too much. They won. They did get to play their game despite rain, flooding in that area. I don't know the attendance, but they're thinking pretty low because of apparently there's only one road heading in or one bridge heading into Fort Collins, at least on Friday morning when I was reading. So I don't know how well that got situated, if the water receded or what they fixed another route or something. But it was difficult to get in. But, hey, they won a game. And Garrett Grayson, I guess it's safe to say, the hot seat's just lukewarm and not boiling or blistering anymore.
Yeah.
It helps when he goes 21-30 for 297, no turnovers. And their running game, nothing much to say, but their running game, they have 3 good running backs. Chris Nwoke, Capri Bibbs, and Donna Alexander. Those two combined for about over 200 yards, just those 3 guys themselves. So I think and they missed too. They were still missing. Who are the receivers are missing? If I knew their names offhand, they're missing their top two receivers. That's all I can't think of right now. I don't want to look it up because they played FCS school, but they were missing their top two receivers as well. And they won, which is good for them. So congratulations to Colorado State. You won a game.
Yes. And now hopefully this winning mentality Alabama. Will carry on for the rest of the season.
Roll Tide!
Roll Tide! All right.
We'll see how that goes. Let's move to Florida State, Nevada.
Good Lord.
62-7.
First of all, no Cody Fajardo. Understandable that the offense is going to be anemic. But really?
No Don Jackson. They're missing their top two running backs as well. It wasn't
62-7.
Well, here's the thing. I watched all this game. Devin Combs, if he's a very good backup quarterback. The defense, which we know has been, we kind of joked the defense is awful, especially secondary, which it actually held up pretty well in this game. Jameis Winston went through for 214. They were hanging around. It was 7-3. It ended up being 17-7 at the half. And so they're in the game, but the thing is, Devin Combs is out with an injury, so they had to bring in redshirt, they're back down to their third-string quarterback in Tallahassee, Tyler Stewart, who was not ready to play. Just, he's a redshirt freshman, got crushed, couldn't run the offense, mistakes. I don't think he turned the ball over himself, but when you're playing a third-string quarterback on the road in that type of game, good things are not going to happen.
Right. I mean, backup running back Chris Solomon did well, 26 carries for 108 yards.
Third string quarterback, running back.
Third string running back?
Yeah, they're down Don Jackson and I forget the other guy's name, but yeah, they're down to their third string running back as well.
Is Nevada going to win another game this year?
Well, Devin Combs is out officially for Saturday, and Fajardo is questionable.
That might be my stupid upset pick of the week.
Hawaii?
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that later, but yeah. He's hopefully he can play, but it's I don't know.
377 rushing yards. You're not even playing Air Force at this point. You're not playing the service academies. You're not even playing Georgia. You're playing Florida State.
Where's the thing? Florida State. Here's how the second half kind of got away from them. Florida State got the ball. They scored a touchdown in two plays, a 60-yard run, and then a short 6-yard run for the score. Nevada went 3 and out, 3 straight passes for some reason. Not sure. Oh, no, sorry. There was a pass, but it was a -3, got 4 yards. But basically, 3 and outs. Next, Florida State gets the ball. First possession, Carlos Williams goes off for a 65-yard touchdown run. So right there, it's pretty much over. It's 31-7. And this is still less. This is 2 minutes and 5 seconds into the second half. Nevada, again, same thing, 3 and outs. Couldn't convert on 3rd and 5. Florida State scores a touchdown in 1, 2, 3, 4 plays. So at the 11:23 mark in the third quarter, it was 38-7.
And they were close. This game was close for the first couple
first
quarters.
Half. First half.
Yeah, first half.
Yeah, you're down 17-7. They started to pull away, but it wasn't anything where they were just dominating. Nevada's defense stepped up or was making plays. They forced it, I think, let's see, 1 or 2 turnovers, I think, in the game, 1 in the first half. So they played above expectations in the first half. When it was 7-3, I was like, whoa. They kind of pulled away a little bit. But even 17-7 against a top 10 team at the half on the road with your backup quarterback and your third string running back, how can you not?
No,
be
yeah,
satisfied?
You'd have to think that you're believing right there. I mean, you can't, like, I mean, that right there, I mean, and see, this is the kind of thing that I was, like, scoreboard watching during the USC game.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you know, you saw it's 7-3 Florida, or it's 7-3 Nevada in the second quarter. Wow. It's 10-7. Okay, that's still pretty
Nevada
good.
Nevada was winning 7-3.
Yeah. And then 17-7 at the half. And then, like, that's where I was like, you know what? They look really good. And I knew that Cody Fajardo was out, but. And then, like, the third quarter started, you just saw the scoreboard, like, because, like, every time they, like, tickered it, click, like, click, there was click, another click, touchdown click, every single
ping, 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 ping.
There's the Nevada defense that we know.
Yeah, so they played well. I don't know, they'll be interesting. I think they can still beat Hawaii, but I don't know, man. They got that's a game will be interesting later in the week. But they played better than expected. Does this mean Florida State probably take a peg down a bit? Probably not for the final result.
No,
if people are just poll watching, no. But or scoreboard watching, but if people like Wonder how Bud feels at Tomahawk Nation about that first half. Probably not too happy.
And in fact, that win raised them up two spots.
Well, A&M lost to Alabama. So. But still, I don't know. Well, not to get into crappy poll stuff, but A&M loses by touching on the drop, what, four spots in the poll? I hate that crap. You know what I mean? Like, you play a number one team and you only lose by a touchdown and you drop.
Especially when you were down by 21.
And had to make a massive comeback.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't get it.
I also like the Nick Saban flea flicker. Like, what is this offense he's doing? He actually does a trick play. All right, let's go to the next team here. What next is? Oh, I'm in the Pac-12 scoreboard. Awesome. I love when I click on a game.
Next game is Wyoming, Northern Colorado. So let's move on.
All right. So why did Brett Smith play after he hurt his ankle and was hobbled the whole game after that first quarter?
I don't know. And what makes it? And really, that comes to one of those things that I mean. If he's hobbled and injured, don't let him play. I mean, he's done well.
And this team, but, too, it's Northern Colorado.
Yeah. I mean, are you afraid that you're going to lose to an FCS team like you did last year? Because the team is much... Yeah, because the team's much better than they were last year. But I feel like at this point, you killed your, you know, quarterback.
Yeah, and also, well, I don't know. I'm trying to see. Nobody's really saying how bad he's hurt, except that he's visibly hobbling the whole game. And I think it happened when they're winning what? I know it was the first quarter. I'm trying to pull up the score here. I think they're winning like four. The game was still in question because it's early. But I think it was 14-7. But after, I don't know if they did halftime. Let him play the half out. See if it's just one of those things that'll just get better by playing on it. But what I read, his ankle was bothering the whole rest of the game. And here's the thing, you're up 21-0 at halftime. Put in your backup. I assume it's still Jason Thompson, their backup. Let him get some yards and playing time, swing the ball around. So
yeah, they didn't even score those last two touchdowns until the fourth quarter anyway. So, I mean, I don't get it. I really don't. I think... This was just it's something that could seriously ruin an athlete's future if you let him play injured, even slightly injured. Sit him out.
Why did they throw the ball almost 50 times? They threw it 47 times. Why not get your Brandon Miller some running guys on the ground, more work running the ball? Yeah, 8 for 45. That's good average, but they were balanced 47 to 42, but you're up 21-0. You don't need to be throwing the ball all that often.
And in the meantime, you know, kudos to Wyoming's defense, though. Two interceptions, both returned for touchdowns, you know.
There you go.
Your offense wasn't even that efficient. It was. I mean, your defense scored 14 of the 35
Brett Smith,
points.
Brett Smith was. He was 30 of 47.
Right, 264, but, I mean, not as efficient as he was a couple weeks ago.
Short, yeah, about 6 yards, 7 yards of reception.
And that comes back to the man's injured. Don't...
Yeah, I don't. Nothing.
When did that interception come?
Which one?
Again, Brett Smith's interception, because he was one touchdown, one interception.
Let me find out really quick here.
I'm looking up right now.
I know this is very exciting for everybody, but no, need some hold music for looking up.
Yeah, why would you let Smith? I mean, did he bruise his ankle on when he punted the ball?
Wait, he punted?
Yeah,
he did. When was that? Was that probably a fourth down kind of a fake punt type of deal?
Yeah, it was a punt that I believe it. I don't know. This is what I'm looking at the box score anyway.
Whatever.
He didn't punt.
What are you looking up there?
I don't know. Maybe it was an arm punt. Maybe that was the interception I was looking at.
Okay, well, let's move on. Whatever it was, why are you playing him?
Don't play a guy when he's hurt. That's the moral of this story. Aesop's fable of the night.
Also, really quick, now just to backtrack to Nevada, Hawaii. Nevada opens, even with a very likely possibility of a third-string quarterback, 2-touchdown favorite over Hawaii.
I'm going to laugh when Hawaii wins this game.
I We'll talk about it later, but man, you got a third string QB. We'll see. All right, next game, nothing to talk
Utah
about.
Utah State, Weber State. Okay, moving on.
No, really quick. Utah State had 70 points with 10 minutes left in the third quarter.
Yeah, this game could have easily... Yeah. If Matt Wells wanted, this game could have easily hit 100.
The reason they got 70 was because Weber State fumbled the punt and Utah State got like the 1 yard line. Or not a punt, but a kickoff, I think.
Yeah.
A kickoff. So they fumbled like at the one.
Fumble return with 50 seconds left in the game.
Oh, that touchdown. Yeah. They got the touchdown at the end of the game. I'm talking about to get 70th point. Weber State fumbled a kickoff and Utah State just walked it in.
Yeah.
But they blocked the PAT. So technically a shutout for the defense. No. Yeah, it is a shutout for the defense. They give no defensive points.
Yeah. So, I mean,
that's all.
I'm going to go ahead and say this. Utah State is more than just cut Chucky Keaton.
They have running back Joey DeMartino.
Joey DeMartino and Joe Hill. Both of those running backs, I mean, they've quietly been getting more involved since the Utah game.
Well, DeMartino, he wasn't even supposed to be started. It was supposed to be Joe Hill. But Hill hasn't been bad, but hasn't been special. But he got all...
Well, he's been averaging 5 yards a carry. I mean, that's
about total yards. Well, also with DeMartino, he got his time to shine in this game. He got a 60-yard or so. Really had 7 for 45 on the ground, which is still good. But he had the 3 TDs. But they need a little bit better running attack, I think. And they obviously
honestly,
need
I'm not worried about this week, but
really quick, USC Utah State, what do you got?
Utah State.
All right.
I'm picking Utah State by at least a touchdown.
And right now the line is 6, started at 7, quickly dropped to 6 in favor of USC, so people, assuming USC people should know Chucky Keaton and not the old Utah State watch.
No, you know what's funny is people don't know who Chucky Keaton is.
True. Yes. I understand. Sorry, I was reading an email from one of our guys, John. I'm like, yes, John, I'll reply to your email. Sorry. We are doing a road to the BCS prospect each week, and I haven't done it. He's going to take over, apparently. So look out for that, which is a good thing. So move on. Utah State, 2-1. Possibly could be 3-0, but... Oh, the weirdest thing...
Should be 3-0.
I was listening to radio this week, and the guy who I work with, I'm like, I like him a lot, he does good stuff. You know, everybody says Utah State slowed it down on the third quarter against Utah.
Okay, yeah.
Well, I mean, when Utah made their comeback. Utah State's up 9.
Yeah.
They're like, he did not slow it down. He's running the same place he's running. It's like...
No, they did. They slowed down their offense considerably. They were doing no huddle, but they were waiting until like 5 or 6 seconds to snap the ball.
Yeah, they weren't running up going for first down. The play calling was fine, but you run up and do it. I'm like, dude, no. I know he's a Utah guy and played at Utah, but still. They did change a little bit because after that next possession, they ramped it back up. So
and we're going to get to this preview, you know, later this week when we do our week 4 preview podcast. Sorry, 4 weeks in the season, by the way.
Final game.
But if
go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, but I mean, if Utah State keeps up the offensive pressure, there's no way USC is going to win this game. Okay, that my 2 cents. Next game.
Also, Marquise Lee needs to be stopped by somebody.
Yes.
So that's the challenge. So were you about to say this was the game of the weekend?
This is the game of the weekend. I will go ahead and say it.
If you can find it online, if you're able to know where to find it, yes. This, I didn't even bother watching it because I saw it was 21-0 early. I'm like, no thank you. But then, new quarterback in town, UNLV, 31-21.
And it's not even new quarterback in town. It's old quarterback.
Or old quarterback slash new wide receiver.
The sheriff has come back out.
Nice. Also, wait, hold on really quick. People, okay, 21-0. I don't remember the last time UNLV came back from a 7-point deficit, let alone 21.
Yeah, no, exactly. And so this is going to probably be the focus of my story time piece this week. Yeah, look for that new feature.
Yeah, 3 weeks in.
like Aesop's Fables. Well, no, I did the eulogy to the Utah State Utah.
Correct.
Once again, I couldn't. I was very limited to what I was going to do. What I could physically do last week, as you noticed when the gambling post came out 2 hours before the Air Force Boise State game started.
It's the perfect time.
So I apologize for that. Right. But seriously, UNLV down 21-0. And that's the point to Central Michigan of all people. That's the point where you could have just said, okay, we're done. This game's over. You know,
is Bobby Houck
pulling season's off, over.
Is he pulling off a
Bobby Houck's
Bobby Petrino from the Falcons leave it to the game, but he leaves at halftime.
Yeah. No, that's the point. No. Instead, UNLV scores 31 unanswered points and finishes the game with a 10-point victory, which, oh, by the way, beats the spread.
Yeah, they were 7.5. UNLV
beat the spread.
Yeah, they covered and won.
They covered a spread.
UNLV and the points every time.
No, that's the worst. That's the worst possible idea of all time.
So
Caleb Herring.
Oh, go ahead.
24-28, 266, 3 touchdowns. I mean,
bam, he's the man. He's starting now.
Yeah.
And they finally got Devonta Davis involved. Listen to this line. 7 receptions, 140, 3 TDs. Average 20 yards a reception. Not too bad. Tim Cornette got involved. Did pretty well. But, man. So, the attendance at this game was about 10,000. Almost 11,000.
Yeah, 11,000.
So who do you think got their money's worth? This game or the fight? Mayweather versus Alvarez.
I would go ahead and say people who went to this game got their money worth.
Because you know how much people were paying for those tickets? Super Bowl level prices to get into this fight.
Yeah.
At least. I was reading somewhere like the secondary market, this is the biggest fight since something with De La Hoya probably 5, 7, 8 years ago. Like, to get on the floor to floor seats was at least 10 grand per. So per buck, I think if you managed to go to UNLV for some reason that game, you probably got your money's worth more than that. Because also, Mayweather smoked Canelo Alvarez despite one judge tying the fight. But
this is the kind of thing, though. Like, I have a couple friends who have season tickets to Rebels football.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't pity them. I want their season tickets. I'll take it. But, like, you know, the guy's like, okay, well, expect another disappointing performance. I said, you follow your team to the end.
You can have some confidence. A little bit. Even if your team's terrible.
Even if your team's terrible, you're there to support your team. And guess what? Those who wanted to support their team and probably who were booing after the 21-0 deficit, they got their money's worth. And they got their victory. And maybe this is the spark that UNLV needed after getting jackhammered by Arizona last week.
Yeah, I don't expect, because also I kind of thought Bobby Houck's done because he's like, the best thing to happen tonight is the game's over. I'm like, wow. That's what you say when you after a game. I get it, you're frustrated, a big loss, but saying that the best thing is that the night you can go home now because the game's over.
Yeah. Whew.
That is, wow.
Hey, good news for San Diego State fans. They didn't lose this week.
Bam, good news for everybody. We're still only at 37 minutes. We could go up another 25 and people won't know it hit them. It'll be the same.
Wow.
But when you play multiple FCS teams. Oh, and also CU Fresno State got postponed or canceled. So about that, I haven't looked at the schedule too much because let's just kind of get into teams that didn't play for a minute. CU, for as you know, the huge flooding in Boulder, game canceled or postponed. It's seemingly now it's going to be canceled. Reading what Tim Drewder's saying, the Colorado AD, this game could be canceled, and it could have a lot of ramifications on the Fresno State season because the one date they want to do is December 7th, which Mountain West title game, and Fresno's odds-on favorite to win the West Division. I don't see, unless they lose to San Jose State and Boise, like lose two games in conference, like I assume Boise, San Jose State are the most logical losses since they miss Utah State, maybe Wyoming, but there's no way that game won't be known until that last second. And also, I read something where I put a post up on the site that they could lose almost $350,000 on this game because of payouts and travel.
So I've got a... Well, let's see. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. Damn it. I was about to say, I know of a team who possibly has a bye week the same time Fresno State does. Who could... No. Idaho. Makes up their non-conference team. Idaho's an independent. Ooh. You know.
Wait, does Idaho share a bye week with who? Both teams?
Idaho has a bye week on October 19th and November 16th.
Ah, okay, because I've seen... I'm pulling up the schedule now because that's interesting.
They already have 12 games, so...
Wait, you mean to play Idaho or switch to line up with? To play... Like to make
to, well, to play Idaho oh, to play to basically Idaho. Oh, never mind. Drop Colorado something. And play Idaho instead.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
No, exactly.
So my first quick look was switch UNLV. Like UNLV Nevada or sorry UNLV Fresno switch. They had the same bye week. Switch a game where CU could play Fresno State, but that would put. I'm trying to get the dates up here so it's more clear. But basically, what it come down to, the switch can be made. But UNLV plays Saturday, then Thursday. When they go,
yeah.
I think it's on there to play Air Force. So it's that was the most the quick. There's also a reading somewhere about Cal switching up, but they're probably not going to switch. But I think Colorado needs to do more to get this game than Fresno does. Because I put on Twitter, like, people are like, oh, CU is a shortfall, losing money. I know they're not the most financially stable team, but they're getting still almost $30 million from the Pac-12 TV network. You're telling me they're $38 million in the hole? For the state or athletic department?
That's...
No.
Yeah.
I get they're playing Dan Hawkins, stupid coaching hires. I assume they're still paying Hawkins. They're also still paying John Embry. But... No, but that would basically put the game November 16th. And that would be two... Also, with it being two road games, that would be at Fresno and at Air Force for UNLV within a couple days. So, I don't know. I looked at something with Cal, but... I think CU's got to do something because they can't make it up to unless you overpay in a couple of years. But this could seriously hurt a BCS bowl bid if Fresno is going to make a big money game.
Yeah, this is going to be the determining factor. I mean, look, Fresno State's already back in the top 25 in the coaches poll. They're very close to breaking the top 25 in the AP poll, which doesn't matter for BCS purposes. But I mean, and you're simulated.
Yeah,
they're 30th.
Yeah, from the BCS guru. From the information we have, the 30th ranked only one computer right now.
Assuming this week's game versus Boise State and then the rest of the season plays out, this postponed / canceled game could be the key factor of Fresno State getting into a very big money game.
Not necessarily because they'll win, I'm assuming, but the computers use strength of schedule. Not that CU is that much better, but also counts your opponent's opponent. So CU plays USC, UCLA, Arizona State, Utah. Good teams, and computers are just care about that. And plus, it's just one less game to show people what you can do. It's a big disadvantage. And I was thinking we'll go play FCS school, which they might be able to sneak around to find one. But you're losing more money. Yeah, it's a home game. You have to probably pay them a ton of money. It's not like Temple last year. I think Temple play 11 games last year. There's something where they want to play Hawaii or something, but they don't want to do it. Something like that, but. I don't know. Do you think if they're 12-0 winning the title game, they'll still get a shot? Will they be ranked high enough?
Maybe.
I think it all depends on Louisville, where they're at. Because if Louisville, they barely beat Kentucky, but they need to be top 12. Do you think right now, if they're number, can they make up 18 spots by the end of the season?
I think so. And the reason why I think so is my whole, Boise State, when they made the Fiesta Bowl in 2007, they weren't even ranked until the third week. So at the point, Fresno State was right then.
Was it Hawaii not ranked also when they went to Sugar Bowl?
I believe so as well.
I remember Utah, they had to be number 6, but they started, I think, number 24 or 23. So that's almost the same jump right now because you had to be number 6 back then. So I guess it can be done. And if I recall Utah's season... BYU, that's about it. Who was any good? I think CSU may have been in New Mexico or decent in Air Force, but I remember they played Arizona, North Carolina, and Texas A&M. Though that year, none of those teams were anything special. They're all just mid-level at best. So yeah, I think it could be done. Plus, if they play that 12th game, the title game will be against a hopefully ranked opponent if it's, say, Utah State. Or even the rematch with Boise State. So I'm assuming whoever wins that title game, there'll be two ranked teams. And could be that could be the best game all year, opponent-wise, or rankings-wise.
All right, so looking that up, yes, I was correct. And I do remember this because I was at the school at that time. Boise State was not ranked until week four, and they were ranked 25th week four. So Fresno State and Boise State of the 2006 team are in the same exact spot, except Boise State that time had to be ranked higher to get into the BCS.
Was that, did they still have to be number six to get in?
They had to be number eight.
What was the qualification? I remember when Utah did it to be six. What did they change to be number eight? Do you recall off the top of your head?
Not off the top of my head. So it was that you had to be in the top eight. You had to be higher than one of the AQs as well.
Okay, that may have been it, 'cause I remember they loosened it up because I'm trying to see right now really quick. In 2005, week 15, Boise State was
2006.
I thought it was the 2006 game, but it's 2006 season.
Yeah, and they were when they played Nevada, they were ranked number 12 in that season.
Yeah, they're number 9 in the coaches poll, number 8-9 in the both polls, but I guess they were higher overall. Okay, I was just curious. Okay, I was just trying to figure things out, but it can be done, even because the league's also stronger. They play some better teams, so we'll see. I don't know. If they make it up, I want to do some more research to see who could do it, like look at the Pac-12 schedule to make that change, but I don't know if they want to make any change that late in the season because they do have a bye this week, but it's too late to make any change.
Maybe it's the top 12.
Top 12? Maybe.
So Boise State was ranked 9th when they played Oklahoma.
So maybe that rule came into effect in 06 or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it did, because I remember the 2005 TCU team was like ranked 10 or 11 with one loss and got shut out and went to the Vegas Bowl.
Yeah, it was in the top 10. It wasn't like to 12, and maybe it was in the top 12.
It would have been the number. It would have been the new rules because it goes from 2006 2010, the cycle 2010 to 2014, which is this season.
Right.
So
and
this
then,
would have been and, the, yeah. This would have been where
yeah,
top 12.
So
were
starting
higher.
The 2007 though, because the 2007 season it started in the top 16, I think.
No, top 16's always been in effect if you're ahead of another league. So 2006 is when they made all those changes to give easier access, where top 12 conference champ or conference champ 16 or higher than any other AQ champion.
Okay, yeah.
So that's what it was. So I'm just whatever. All right, so we'll move on. We'll see if that game happens. We'll do some research or something like that. But I'm getting my teams mixed up because it's late. We just discussed Fresno. San Diego State was off this week. Adam Lema still, he's likely to play versus Oregon State. They are going with a backup quarterback, Quinn Gaither, if I'm correct. Yeah, Quinn Kaler. Excuse me. Walk-on junior college quarterback. Glad to have those scholarships there for everybody else. That's who San Diego State has starting next week. So, because Adam Dingwell, air quotes with me, back issues, is not going to play next week.
Yeah.
Do you buy that? Back injury?
No, not at all.
He has had it since high school, but that could also be a cover saying, see, it's a reoccurring thing that kind of comes in and out. So we'll see. I've had back issues doing. I hurt my back the other day getting out of my car weird. I'm like, oh, really? I'm not that old. Because I heard it once pretty bad and now.
We're not going to say how old he is.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I heard it once pretty bad a while ago, but every now and then I'll do some weird twist. And it's like, ah, oh, rest of the day. I'm like, oh, geez. All right, that's enough about my medical issues.
Come on, old man.
It's not HIPAA here. I got to protect my rights. And then Hawaii bye week, or San Jose State
bye week.
Also, one cool thing, I was going to write about it. I may or may not, but do you know what the San Jose State-Stanford game is called?
It is called the, Bill Walsh Legacy Game.
Yes. So I was reading over at John Wilner, because that game's no longer on the books for a while, and they're trying to make a compromise, like, because they get grossly underpaid for that game. Like, I think they got paid just $250,000, I think.
Yeah.
And that's, like, ridiculously low compared to other FCS schools.
Everyone else.
Anybody, even, like, here's the thing. Alabama's getting over $1.5 million about to go to Alabama each time, I think. And Fresno State, San Jose State paid the same amount to bring in their FCS opponent this year, Sac State. And so his deal, because the thing is, he was saying San Jose State wants a home game, but why should Stanford give a home game? Because it's a no-win situation, especially if San Jose State is on the uprising, which they clearly are. We'll see post-David Fells, but his deal was to, like, because it's so close, always play it at Stanford Stadium, but pay a better rate, like $650,000.
Yeah.
But do you think that's fair?
The
money-wise, because travel's so little, it's almost getting paid like $850,000.
You know what? I would find it more fair if they played that game in Candlestick.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking about the earlier, either or the new in Santa Clara, the new Niner Stadium.
Yeah. Even better. Even better because, I mean, that is more of like a central
stadium?
Point between. What's No. Like in terms of the distance from Sanford and the distance from San Jose, I mean it's not really a median point, but it's a good local area where people are definitely going to travel.
So like
and,
CSU in Denver at Mile High.
Yeah.
Okay. That I was thinking that, or maybe do a 2-for-1. Like every 3rd year, go to Spartan Stadium. You still pay, and that way, if you do that, you might be able to lessen what you're paying Fresno. Or, jeez, I'm ridiculous. Paying San Jose State every year, pay them $500,000. But
I don't think Stanford fans will go for that.
What's that noise? What are you doing? Trying to wake
me jingling my keys.
Oh, that's right. You're at Michigan Stadium or something?
No. That's what Stanford fans do to Cal fans.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Oh,
have you heard that story?
Just not really mentioned to everybody.
So basically the tradition of the key jingling, at least between Stanford and Cal, is that the Stanford students had cars and the Cal students didn't.
Nice. That's a good one. I thought it was a bit longer than that, but if the program's that good, I don't see why 2-for-1. Utah State, it's different. They just changed, but I don't know. It's not 2-for-1. Heck, man, Texas A&M had a game at SMU. Oh, wait, they canceled that. Never mind. Not a good example. But I think that'd be fair. If they're paying, ideally, I think they appease both sides. Have it at a neutral site in the Bay Area. But I don't know if Fresno... San Jose State, I don't know why they may not want to do it because they might not get as much money.
Right.
But whatever, that's just something to talk. Just so we talk about every team this week.
So, power rankings.
Ah,
let's do those.
Kind of. I sent out the email early this week, so this I was getting some heat from Kevin. I want the power rankings. Where are your power rankings? I'm like, sorry, I don't know how to use Google Forms all that well. So let's go to. Let me actually pull up last week's power rankings real quick. How did you vote last week? Do you want to reveal our secret ballot?
Yes, I will reveal my secret ballot. Last week, I ranked Utah State first. I ranked Boise State second.
Well, these are also, we're doing divisional power rankings.
Okay, these are divisional. So in the Mountain, I ranked Utah State first, Boise State second, Wyoming third, New Mexico fourth, Colorado State fifth, Air Force sixth. In the Mountain, in the West Division, I ranked Fresno State first, San Jose State second, Nevada third. I ranked Hawaii fourth, UNLV fifth, and San Diego State sixth. Now, that all changed on a week-by-week basis because UNLV got slammed. Now, this week, I will go ahead and rank all 12, okay? And they'll be broken up by Mountain and West again. But in the power rankings when we talk about it later. But these are my numbers 1 through 12. So Utah State's first. Fresno State's second. Boise State is third.
Ooh.
Wyoming is 4. Okay. San Jose State is 5. I'm going to go ahead and put Colorado State 6.
These are your overall rankings, right?
Yes.
Okay.
UNLV 7th. New Mexico 8th. Air Force 9th, Hawaii 10th, and San Jose State 11th.
San Jose State 11th, you mean? What? That doesn't sound
San Jose, right. San Diego State 11th.
You're getting my thing here?
San Diego State, yeah. San Diego State 11. I'm missing somebody, aren't I?
UNLV 12?
No, UNLV I had up at 8.
I lost track of halfway through when I was looking up our power.
All right. Once again, you can cut this out later if you want.
No, we're going to leave it in. I'm too tired.
Utah State 1. Fresno State 2. Boise State 3. Wyoming 4. San Jose State 5. Colorado State 6. Nevada 7.
Okay, let's stop there. Are you really going to put CSU above Nevada?
Right now, yes.
Okay, that's right. We don't need to do all 12 because...
And then everybody else.
New Mexico, UNLV, San Diego State. Blah, blah. Really, because last week in the Mountain Division side, everybody... CSU was the 6th ranked team out of all 14 people who voted.
Yeah.
They were dead last. And they barely edged out UNLV with 2 points more.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
I'm just saying that's a big jump for being 6th overall to...
Well, this is what I said in the betting ranking and the bettings post, mm-hmm. that I picked Cal Poly to beat the spread.
Okay, all
right. I said I'll be glad to lose it, but Colorado State has to show that they can win, and they did.
Okay, I don't think my rankings changed on either side. I think I kept mine exactly the same. Just real quick, if I'm going overall,
okay,
who did you say was number one again?
Utah State.
Okay, I'm going Fresno State.
Okay.
I think it'd be Fresno, Utah State, Boise State, same as you, San Jose State. Well, I mean, I'd go Nevada still at this point just because. And I'd stick San Diego State 11.
Would you stick 12?
If I had to go 12,
I've still got Hawaii 12, I think.
Okay. All right, fine.
I forget what I put up. I'm just thinking Hawaii's, they're that bad, so. That's our show today, so a lengthy...
It is under an hour, I think.
Barely. I just checked, we're at 55 minutes, so we did spend 20 minutes on the Bill Walsh legacy game and me mistaking Fresno for San Jose State halfway through. But that's what we got here, about trying to keep it a crisp hour. So this is our, week 3 recap. We got week 4 coming up. Huge games we're going to be. It's Utah State, USC. Fresno, Boise State are the two big games. We will have people on, maybe two people at one at USC game, possibly. Are you going for sure yet? Did you score your free tickets in the student section yet?
I did not score my free tickets in the student section. I scored my free tickets somewhere else.
Ah, I thought you were going to. So, and you're going to wear a dark blue, right?
I will be wearing dark blue, or I will be wearing my awesome T-shirt that you guys should buy at Mountain West Connection T-shirts.
Heck yeah! Go buy a T-shirt. Give us a buck or two.
Yep.
So
quite literally a dollar.
Could be a couple bucks. I think
we only earn like $2 every T-shirt that you buy. Yeah, so
that's fine. Hey,
buy T-shirts, please.
Buy me a soda, a couple sodas.
we're working on new T-shirts.
We say that all the time, but we really are. All right, so we're ending the show now. Chris, there is good. First off, did you listen to Matthew last week?
I did listen to Matthew last week.
What do you think about it? Is he a suitable replacement for you one day when you're too big for this?
When I'm making my literal hundreds of dollars doing something else. Yes, he is more than a suitable replacement. He sounds very similar to my voice, listening at it without a microphone. but no, very good analysis. Very intuitive. Coming off the bench, cold. You guys had very good interaction with each other, and I hope to see that in the future.
We should. Maybe we'll do something else. We'll have a trio on a Google Hangout or something, a handful of people. So
I'm down.
That's excellent. We're working on a few things because you're slightly less busy. Is that safe to say?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we might do some more stuff. But that's Chris there back joining us again. Jeremy here. Just come out and visit mwcconnection.com for all the latest and greatest football coverage that we have to offer.